You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Here is something that sets this country apart from the rest of the world.
The cases I've been working on recently do involve children who've been sentenced to die in prison, some as young as 13 and 14. The U.S. is the only country in the world that condemns children that age to life imprisonment without parole. So I think this all has huge implications for the kind of society, the kind of country, you know, the kind of world we're creating.
That's lawyer and advocate Brian Stevenson speaking on this program yesterday. But just how unique this country is in the way it treats young criminal offenders and suspects really becomes apparent when you see the sheer number of young people in detention facilities in the U.S. It hits home when you see how the world of these youngsters is compressed into tiny cells and dingy corridors. Photographer Richard Ross has been taking his cameras into that world, documenting 350 facilities in over 30 states, talking with 1,000 youths and administrators, all part of his online documentary project, Juvenile Injustice, to get a glimpse of what it's like to be locked up in a juvenile detention center. Here's one of Ross's pictures from Downey, California. 5 boys trying to sleep, lights on full, tiny cell, hard floor, harder metal benches, blank walls. One boy uses his hand as a pillow, his other hand between his knees, the way he might have slept as a baby.
The cells are 8 by 10 according to the ACA standard, but they vary. I mean, I found cells in Biloxi, Mississippi that were steel plates, windowless hovels. And I found rooms that were dressed up to be somewhat nice. But the question is that no matter what the physical space is this a place for kids or not? Mm. When I spoke to most of these kids, it's the wrong place for them.
Now, you say it's the wrong thing, but are you a professional in, incarceration, in corrections, in detention, and how would you respond to the idea that, well, somebody knows what they're doing here, even if you're outraged?
I'm reasonably self-deprecating, but I'm a really good photographer. And in 6 years of going to 31 states and several hundred sites and interviewing 1,000 kids, I've learned an awful lot from the ground up. I'm a researcher at the University of California that happens to use photography as my medium, so I ain't no dummy on this one. When I come and look at these kids and find out what they're there for in terms of parole violations, status violations, probation violations, dropping dirty, which is a bad urine analysis, they're teenagers. By definition, they make stupid choices. Only about 12% of them are there for violent crimes. Most of them are there for the crime of POA, which is pissing off an adult.
Hmm. Now, the mission of the juvenile justice system, it varies from state to state, but in general, the mission is to intervene in children's lives to prevent more serious incarceration down the line. Did you see any evidence of that intervention? Did it seem more like people were simply being herded? Is there a sense of mission at any of these facilities?
It varies from state to state. There are very well-meaning people in every institution, or most institutions, but it's counterproductive. As soon as a kid walks through the door of a detention center, their chances of succeeding are about halved. And it goes down from there the further into the process they get. The more kids are treated in their own environment, the more successful it is, the more economical it is. Just on every level, you're better off treating the kid in the community with drug program, alcohol program, and just behavioral programs and helping them get a better education.
Now, this Juvenile Injustice Project, take me into some of these images and tell me the story of what you found and why you pressed the shutter button.
I was in Washoe County, which is Reno, Nevada, and there was a kid there who was in fifth grade. He got into a fight with another kid. So you have a fifth grader there. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. The kid is scared out of his wits. It's a concrete cell, no TV, no book, no cards, no anything. And the kid has his shoes removed, no belt. And it's a tiny fifth grader. I keep on trying to emphasize that one. That when I photograph it, he's so diminutive within this cell that's so barren, and he's there alone. His mother can't get off from work until 6 o'clock, or else she loses her job. So the people there keep on checking on him to make sure he's okay, but it's the wrong place for the kid.
How do you get into these facilities? Why would anyone open up to you?
There are some people, like in Houston, I'm going down there at the end of the month. The director of probation there said, we want to be transparent. We're responsible for these kids, and the more transparent we are, the better we are, the more responsible we are to people inquiring every day, any type of person, the better the system's going to be. So they say, we want to show you our facility, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
What picture hit you the hardest?
There's one kid in Miami who was 13 when he was charged with some pretty heinous crimes, alleged crimes. His mother tried to kill him. He ran away, caught up with some pretty bad kids, and the charges are very aggressive against him. But he's now 17, and it's almost 4 years, and he hasn't been brought to trial yet. So I get involved with these situations and talk to these kids, and I can't believe how the system works or doesn't work. And for some of these kids, there's just no such thing as the Sixth Amendment.
And do you ever put yourself in the situation? Imagine what you might do if you would trade places with them?
John, it's unimaginable. I think that a lot of these kids, I wouldn't have the skills to survive the way they have. A lot of these kids come from homes that they don't have 3 square meals a day. They're sleep deprived. They're living in very drastic situations, and just any behavior that they do that's normal adolescent behavior is magnified and extreme in terms of who they are, in terms of survival. I don't think I could have done it.
Well, we're grateful that you started this project. Juvenile Injustice is Richard Ross's attempt to bring images of juvenile justice around the United States to the public to deliver this transparency he talked about a moment ago. Richard Ross is a photographer and professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Richard, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure, John. Thanks for talking to me.